In our Sunday evenings, we've been talking about prayer. And I thought it would be useful to take an evening and discuss a question that I get fairly regularly. And it's a conversation I've actually had on a few occasions just over the last couple of months. And the question always goes something like this. We know and we believe that God is sovereign, that God is in control of what happens in this world, what happens in my life. And so if that's the case, and I'm going to God with prayers, asking Him for particular things, do my prayers actually do anything? If God has already sovereignly foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, then what's the use of going to Him with requests? Why pray for those that we know that are sick if He is already foreordained what will or will not happen to them? Why pray for the gospel to make inroads in this or that place if it's already sovereignly foreordained? Do my prayers actually do anything? We're going to begin, and we'll come back to it a little bit later, but we're going to begin in James chapter 4, and we're actually reading the first three verses, not the first 13. James chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, we come to you in prayer tonight and every day, trusting that it is not a vain exercise, believing that it is of great importance, because we commune and know intimacy with you, our Maker, because you are our Father in heaven and we are your beloved children. And fathers love to hear the questions and requests of their children. So hear us tonight as we pray, and grant to us that you would open your word to us, but that you would help us to see the place that our prayers ought to have in our lives, how necessary and important they are in the life of faith and in our connection with you. So bless this prayer, our prayer now, by opening your word to us tonight. Spirit, reveal the truth of Jesus Christ to us. We ask in his name. Amen. So when we ask a question like this, does prayer change the mind or the will of God? Do my prayers do anything? Usually, what people are asking about is they're asking about in Reformed theology what we call the decretal or the eternal will of God, okay? That God has, as we've been saying, sovereignly foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And there are any number of places we could go to talk about this idea and the way that this will of God functions in the world. But there are just a couple places in the Psalms that I'll take us. First to Psalm 115. Verse 3 says, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." Psalm 135. And verses 5 through 7 say, "For I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses." Now, there are a number of other places we could look for this as well, but the Psalms speak very clearly about the goings-on of the world happening according to the pleasure and will of God. God does what he pleases. In our Confession of Faith, the Westminster Confession of Faith, as Presbyterians, we say that God sovereignly foreordains whatsoever comes to pass. That from eternity past, each thing that has happened and will happen, not just the goings-on of the world around us, not just the big things, but the stories of our lives as well, happen according to the plan of our Heavenly Father. And so if the question is, God has set his will, his plan from eternity past, do our prayers change that? When we pray, does it unlock some sort of power that we have to go in and move around the pieces that God has moved into place? And to that question, the answer is no. Our prayers do not change the sovereign will of God. But does that mean that our prayers do nothing? Does that even mean that our prayers have no place in the unfolding of God's will in the world around us? And to that, James seems to have something very important to tell us. James says that our prayers can be effectual. Going back to James 4. He says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, and you do not have because you do not ask." Now, James is telling the Christians that he's writing to here that there are things that they may desire, good things that they may desire, God-honoring things that they may desire, that they do not have because they do not ask for it in prayer. And that there are things that they do ask for, but they're not God-honoring things. They're not good things. They ask for things that will be good for themselves. They ask for things that will build themselves up, that will simply play into whatever the thing they want to do or be at that moment is. And James says, you don't get those things because you ask simply to spend them on your passions. In another place in James, James says that the prayers of a righteous man avail much. He says that for those who love God and seek to follow him and who have done a certain amount of growing in the faith, that there is an effectiveness to their prayers that does not belong to other people. And so James seems to suggest, now James isn't going to argue that our prayers change God's sovereign will, okay? We've already said that the answer to that is no. But James makes it very clear that our prayers actually do something. So how does that work? We're going to get a little bit technical, and we've already been a little bit technical using words like sovereignly foreordain whatsoever come to pass. But when we think about the idea of God sovereignly foreordaining whatsoever comes to pass, we need to think of it this way, that God ordains both what is going to happen and how it is going to happen. Both the ends that he desires and the means by which those ends come to be. This is why in Romans, Paul can write things like, how will they believe if they have not heard, and how will they hear if no one preaches, right? If we were to treat something like declaring the word of God in a sermon or simply sharing our faith with other people, if we were to treat it the same way that sometimes we think about prayer, we would simply stop doing it because we figure, well, God has already decided what it is that's going to happen, so it doesn't matter what I do or do not do. But that's not the way that God's foreordination works. That's not the way that his sovereign will works. God ordains both what is to happen and how it's going to come about. And so he gives us these means of bringing about his ends as his people. Among them is preaching and sharing our faith and loving our neighbors and prayer. Which is why James can say, if you don't ask, you won't get. And if you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, you won't get. And if you sin flagrantly and without repentance and yet pray and expect God to simply answer it because you've prayed, we shouldn't expect an answer there either. God ordains both ends and the means to bring them about, and he promises to honor and bless certain acts of faithfulness. And prayer is included in that list. The way that many things come to be, in terms of the means that God ordains for them to come about, often on that list, high up, is prayer. Fervent and earnest prayer. And so prayer is necessary in every possible way. If you will indulge me just for a minute, I'm going to read for you one of the sections in the reformer John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion, because as a general rule, he says things better than I ever do, and so even though it might not feel that way, this is going to be for your benefit. This is from Book 3 and Chapter 20 in the Institutes, and it's Calvin's discussion of prayer and why it is so necessary in our lives. He says, "It's therefore by the benefit of prayer that we reach those riches which are laid up for us with the Heavenly Father. For there is a communion of men with God by which, having entered the heavenly sanctuary, they appeal to him in person concerning his promises, in order to experience, where necessity so demands, that what they believed was not vain, although he had promised it in word alone. Therefore, we see that to us nothing is promised to be expected from the Lord, which we are not also bidden to ask of him in prayers. So true is it that we dig up by prayer the treasures that were pointed out by the Lord's gospel and which our faith has gazed upon. Words fail to explain how necessary prayer is and in how many ways the exercise of prayer is profitable, Surely, with good reason, the Heavenly Father affirms that the only stronghold of safety is in calling upon His name. By so doing, we invoke the presence both of His providence, through which He watches over and guards our affairs, and of His power, through which He sustains us, weak as we are, and well nigh overcome, and of His goodness, through which He receives us, miserably burdened with sins, unto grace. And in short, it's by prayer that we call Him to reveal Himself as wholly present to us. Hence comes an extraordinary peace and repose to our consciences. For having disclosed to the Lord the necessity that was pressing upon us, we even rest fully in the thought that none of our ills is hid from Him who, we are convinced, has both the will and the power to take the best care of us. He says that God makes promises to us, and that everything He has promised to us, He also bids us to ask of Him in prayer. That when we go to God in prayer, that is the way that He has ordained that we avail ourselves of His providence, of His care and protection for us, of His power, of His ability to do mighty and miraculous things in our world and in our lives, and of His goodness, of His love and forgiveness for us. And that to simply sit back and to expect these things apart from asking Him is to pass on them, is to fail to receive them. So our prayers may not and do not change the eternal will of God, but they have a very important and central place in the eternal will of God. That God has ordained what it is that will happen, and He has ordained how it is that such things come to be. And near the top of that list of how it is that we receive the things promised to us is prayer. And so when we pray, do we pray with faith that God can answer? Do we believe that we are availing ourselves of His power when we pray? Do we pray knowing that our prayers matter? That we're not simply... Sometimes the way we speak of prayer is that its usefulness to us, and its only usefulness to us, is in the way that it shapes our hearts. And that is very, very true, okay? When we read God's word and we pray according to His word, we want to pray according to His revealed will, there is a discipling effect that has on our hearts, okay? It shapes the things that we want. It shapes the things that we desire. That is good. I'm not denying any of that. But that is not the only benefit of prayer. James makes it clear that we ask because we believe that God will answer, not always the way that we want Him to. He knows what is best for us better than we do. And if we're asking not in accordance with His will, but so that we can just get something that we want or whatever, even if we don't think that's why we're praying it, if He knows, He will answer the right way. And sometimes the right answer is no. But our prayers do matter. Our prayers do something. And to fail to pray, to fail to ask God for the things that He has promised, to fail to look into the world around us and into our own lives and to pray that God would work in very powerful and good ways, is to pass on those things that may otherwise be answered by Him. It is to fail to make use of one of the primary means that God has given for achieving His purposes. And so pray. Pray because you are communing with your Heavenly Father who loves you. Pray because we know that God can and does answer prayer. Pray because we know that God is infinitely powerful. And pray because it is one of the means that God has given us for achieving His purposes in this world according to His will. Let's pray. Our Father, as we pray, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray boldly. Teach us to pray with expectation and hope. Teach us to pray that we, knowing that we are not here by accident, but that You have placed Your people in specific places, put desires on our hearts, told us what is good, and then show us Your work in the world around us. Let us pray believing that You are engaged both in our lives and in the goings-on of the world around us. Teach us to pray for what is good, for what is glorifying to You, for what advances the cause of the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Stand and sing.